recording. Okay, so tonight's topic is called Rashlanut Rifu'is, which means Rashlanut Rifu'it, which means if medical negligence or malpractice. So basically, we're going to be talking about two scenarios. We're going to be talking about a case where the doctor causes damage, he causes harm. And the other case, lo aleinu, is if the doctor accidentally kills the patient. Now we're not talking about a case like Rav Ezra just pointed out. We're not talking about a case where surgery was performed and it didn't work out. We're talking about a case where the doctor was negligent, accidentally caused injury or even death. So let's first get the basics and let's see what we would say from the sources. And then, interestingly enough, the Tosefta, the Brisos that are printed in the back of the Gemara, really say the opposite of what we would have thought. So let's first start off with the basics. There's a Mishnah in the beginning of HaChoyvel, it's the 8th Perek in Baba Kama, that talks about bodily injury. The Mishnah says, HaChoyvel b'chaveroi, if somebody injures his friend, Chayiv olav mishum chamisha dvarim, so there are five categories of payments that the perpetrator is liable for. So nezek are the damages, and the Gemara talks about how you assess each of these damages. You treat him as if he would be on the market to be sold as a servant, and we assess how much depreciation he suffered on account of the injury. That's nezek. Nezek is injury, is the actual damages. Tsar is the pain, and again, the Gemara discusses each of these categories, how exactly you assess the payment. Nezek is the depreciation of value, the damages. Tsar is the pain. Ripui are the doctor bills, like the Pasuk says, Barapo Yurape, that's the doctor bills. Sheves is the unemployment, or rather, I should say the disability that you pay. The loss of income, the sheves. Sheves means that he's not working now. So it's interesting. So let's say, for example, a person cuts off, he breaks somebody else's arm permanently. He removes somebody else's arm. So number one, you pay the nezek, the damages. How much was he worth before when he was able-bodied? And how much is he worth now that he's missing an arm? He's also sick in bed now because of the amputation. So you pay the sheves. But the unemployment that you're paying, the disability that you're paying, is how much he would be able to earn now that he doesn't have an arm, right? You don't pay him how much he was earning before. Those payments are included in the nezek. Those how much he was worth before is already accounted for under the first category of tashlumin, of payment. So if he was a diamond cutter or if he was a brain surgeon, so he had a very valuable occupation, that loss of income from now on, going forward, would all be factored in to the nezek. Now, we're assessing his disability. How much will he be able to fetch as an amputee, somebody who doesn't have an arm? So that would be the sheves. And then finally, the boshes. Boshes is the humiliation that he suffered based on the injuries. We have these five tashlumins. Now, the Gemara in Baba Kama goes through each of these tashlumins. It's mavur in the sugi in the Gemara that these five tashlumins work differently. So nezek, and I'm speaking this out now because let's bear this in mind, it's going to come up again later. Nezek, the damages, you're chayev afilu ba'oinis. So we darshin adam mu'ed la'olam, that a man, a human being, is a damager, he's a bona fide damager, he's always liable, whether he caused the damage intentionally or unintentionally or even by accident, to a certain extent beyond his control, even ba'onis. So nezek you have to pay even ba'onis, even if the damage happened very unintentionally, even borderlining on beyond your control. However, the tsar, paying for the pain, and paying for the unemployment, the disability, and paying for the ripui, the doctor bills, you're only liable if there was an element of negligence. If it was an accident, or if it was beyond your control, you're exempt for these three categories of payment. And boshes is even more lenient. You only have to pay the humiliation if you at least had kavana, that word should be mechavin lahazik, at least you had to have kavana to damage. You didn't have to have kavana to cause embarrassment, but you had to have kavana to damage. And the Gemara there explains how we assess each of these damages. So just one more time. So nezek, the actual depreciation of value, so to speak, you have to pay even if it was borderlining on beyond your control. Even an accident that was almost beyond your control, let's call it an einus, you're chayiv, you're liable to pay. The three payments of tsar, sheves, and ripoi are lenient. It's only if there's an element of negligence. And the fifth tashlumin, the boshes, the embarrassment, is the most lenient of the five, that you only have to pay that if you were deliberately trying to injure him. But if it was an accident, even if it was negligent, you're exempt on the boshes. And the Gemara darshins all of this from various psukim in Parshas Mishpatim, other psukim, that these five categories of payment and when you're liable to pay these payments. So whenever a person causes an injury, he's going to be immediately chayiv in nezek, whether he's liable in the other tashlumins, the sheves, the ripui, and the tsar, is only if there's an element of pshia. And boshes, he would not even be chayiv with negligence. He's only liable for boshes if he intended to damage. That's as far as damages, suing for damages. Now we have the second thing. If lo yaleinu, somebody unintentionally kills somebody else, so the Mishnah says in the second parak of Maseches Makis, Elu hein hagoylin, the following people have to go to exile. We know the Pasuk tells us in a few parashiyos in the Torah that if a person kills someone by accident, he requires an atonement and he has to be exiled to one of the cities of refuge. So in the desert, when the Jewish people were encamped in the desert, it doesn't say such a thing ever happened, but had something like this happen, he would have to run to the Machane of the Levim in Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael was living in Eretz Yisrael. So he would have to run to one of the six cities that were designated as Ari Miklat, and to a certain extent, all of the 42 cities of the Levim also could offer refuge for an atonement for the unintentional murderer. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Makis, Hayamagel b'magila, if you have a worker who's working on the roof, and he's smoothing the tar on the roof, the nafla olav hargasai, and he either drops the tool or he falls off the roof and he kills someone, hayimishalshol b'chavis, if a person was lowering a barrel from a higher place, the nafla olav hargasai, and it falls and it kills the victim underneath, hayayorid b'sulam, a person is climbing down a ladder, the nafla olav hargasai, harayza goyla, all of these cases, one would go to golas. Obviously, nowadays, we don't have, if lo yaleinu such a thing would happen, we don't have the conventional going to exile. We don't have the cities of refuge. Even if we would identify where they are, they're not activated nowadays. It wouldn't work. But as far as we're concerned, what this would mean is the person requires atonement. And the poskim say that you would have to look in the svarim, but somehow there's a mishka. There's somehow like an assessment. What kind of punishment or what kind of yisurin, what kabbalah should the person accept upon himself that would be the equivalent of galus to achieve the atonement? So the poskim discuss that. The earlier poskim, the Chassam Sofer, discusses such a concept. So that's the concept of going to galus. So we have the bodily injury, like assault and battery. That's the five payments. And then we also have in the Maseches Makis the concept of requiring an atonement for somebody who inadvertently causes the death of someone else. So in item in Gimel, so I laid down the question. Sarach Levayer, Echadin Berofe, what would the halacha be regarding a doctor, Bishnei Oifanim Elu, in either of these two scenarios? Ba'oifin Shehizik Derech Malachtoi, so the doctor causes damage while he's working. So for example, he performs an operation and he realizes afterwards he made a mistake. You know, he left the scalpel inside the person. Even not as dramatic as that. He fixes somebody's bone. It turns out he didn't set the bone properly. The person is permanently injured, or things of this nature. Or in the second scenario, if God forbid a person is hoirig b'shoyig derech malachtoi, the doctor kills the patient. Again, we're not speaking about a case where the operation wasn't successful. We're talking about a case where the doctor realizes afterwards that there was either a misdiagnosis or the doctor wasn't careful. He inadvertently caused an infection, something that he did, he could have done better, and it caused the death of the patient. So it's interesting that in Ostalid, so I pointed out, and I saw that other people say this as well, we do not find any clear sources in the Gemara about this. It doesn't talk about in the Gemara at all what happens if a doctor is trying to cure his patient and he either injures the patient or if he kills the patient. The Gemara does not discuss it explicitly, so we're really going to have to go on a journey and making analogies from what the Gemara does discuss and to be midama milsa la milsa, to compare one thing to the other, what we would say about how that applies to a doctor. There are no clear makoris in the Gemara itself. So let's compare it. Let's go on a journey together and let's compare it to some of the things that we do find in the Gemara. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, and this was my analogy, the Gemara in Kiddushin on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, where in Baba Kama it's the same Gemara Chaf Vav Amud Beis. So the halacha is, we all know, that if a man would own an Eved Knaini, so an Eved Knaini started off being a non-Jew, and for whatever reason, the non-Jew sold himself to a Jew. What the Jewish owner of the slave, so to speak, is expected to do is to be toivel, to give this slave, to immerse the slave, and to give the slave a bris milah. It's a quasi-gerus. We know that an Eved Knaini is like a quasi-Jew. He has the same status, the halacha status of a woman. He's only obligated in the mitzvahs that are not time-related, and he's a semi-Jew. He's not allowed to marry someone who's the kahal. They have to keep Shabbos. They have to keep kashrus, all of the halachas, the negative commandments. If this quasi-Jewish maidservant would give birth to a baby, the baby would require a bris, the woman would have to go to the mikveh after the childbirth, and so on. They have a quasi-status of a Jew. We know the halacha that if the master, even inadvertently, bodily injures, knocks out, breaks one of the roshei evarim, one of the fingers, or the ear, or the nose, or knocks out a tooth, the pasuk says that as a penalty to the master, they have to set the Eved free. So the Eved Knaini goes free with any of the Roshei Evarim. If the master inadvertently knocks out any of the Roshei Evarim, any of the limbs, the tips of the limbs, the Eved goes free. So the Gemara actually discusses, what if the rabbi, what if the master is a doctor? But Omar Loi, and the Eved himself says to his master, you're my master, and you also happen to be a doctor, so kochel eina. So why don't you apply the ointment to my eye? I have something wrong with my eye. So why don't you put the medicine in? Why don't you perform the procedure on my eye? Vesima. And by accident, the master, who happens to be a doctor, while he's performing the procedure on his servant's eye, blinds the servant. Or chator li shinai. Or imagine if the master is a dentist. Chator li shinai. So treat my tooth. I have a toothache, and I need a cavity filled. I need to have a tooth removed. Behepila. So if the dentist knocks out the tooth and it did not need to be removed, and he knocks it out, so he's performing a root canal, and by accident he kills the tooth. Sichek ba'adon. So the Gemara uses an amusing expression that the servant could laugh at the master. And the Eved goes free. He's free. So here we have an example where although the Eved voluntarily went to his master for a medical procedure, and they both agreed to perform the procedure, the master was a doctor, and the doctor by accident injured his servant, he's required to set the servant free. And this din is brought in the Rambam. So now, ulechayra, it would seem that shen v'ayin, That's what this is called. They call it shen v'ayin. The fact that the slave is set free, if you knock out his tooth or if you blind his eye, seemingly this would be analogous to nezek. This would be like paying damages. So since he's my slave, I don't have to pay him damages because he's my property. But the penalty is he has to go free. once I set him free, I don't have to pay him now in addition to that for all the five payments, because the penalty, because at the time that I damaged him, he was my property. But once I damage him, I have to set him free. And the Gemara applies this even to a doctor who inadvertently maims his own Eved. So we find from here that at least the Nezek, and the reason why I point out that at least the Nezek is because the Nezek, we said before, the damages that you're liable for even by accident, it would seem that even a doctor who makes a mistake has to pay the damages. We don't see explicitly in the Gemara that you have to pay for damages, but the analogy is that just like the master who's a doctor has to set his slave free if he injures his slave during the medical procedure, so the same thing would apply that a doctor seemingly would have to pay his patient if he injured the patient during a procedure, at least damages. He might not have to pay the unemployment and the embarrassment and the tsar and the pain, because it was inadvertent. There was no negligence here necessarily. It was inadvertent. He was allowed to do what he was doing, or he certainly didn't intend to damage, but he should at least have to pay the nezek. Another analogy that I thought of is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Boi Minei Rabba Bar Nosson Mi Rav Huna. So Rabba Bar Nosson asks Rav Huna, what's the halacha hamazik es ishtoi v'tashmish amita? Imagine if a man is having relations with his wife, something he's allowed to do, and he injures his wife during the tashmish hamita. So mahu, what's the halacha? Even the brishuska of it, so after all, he was allowed to be engaging in the intimacy with his wife, Tashmish Amita, but he was inadvertently too rough or whatever it was, so he caused an injury on his wife. So do we say, since he had permission to be doing what he was doing, he's exempt? Or do we say, that although he was allowed to do what he was doing, he should have been careful, and therefore he would be liable to pay damages to his own wife if he caused some kind of injury, if whatever the case might be. So here's another analogy to a doctor. He's working with another person. He's involved with another person. He's allowed to be doing what he's doing with that other person. There's mutual consent. Nevertheless, if the man causes bodily injury, he's at least chayiv for the nezek. The Gemara concludes that he's chayiv, kibin derak ihu avid maisa. Because the man was the one who was primarily in motion and she was passive, so therefore it's considered that he injured her. Like imagine if two people are walking in the street and they both collide. So you really can't say that one person caused the damage more than the other. They mutually, the damage was caused between the two. So the Gemara says that since in the normal act, the man is the one who's in is the one who's in motion, and the woman is usually passive. So therefore, it's the man, we attribute the damage to the man, and he's liable. So what do we see from both of these examples? The example of the master who injures his slave inadvertently during a medical procedure, and what do we see regarding the husband who injures his wife during intimacy? What do we see? That even though he has permission to be doing what he was doing, if he causes injury, he's liable. All of this is regarding Nezek, and we can still discuss, we can still speculate what the halacha would be if a doctor would, chas v'shalom, inadvertently kill the patient. That would be regarding the chiyuv galus and kapar. So far we have two analogies, two references, two frames of reference regarding injury. Now the Gemara Makkos says like this. Abba Shaul says that now we're talking about galus. So the way the Torah, the scenario the Torah gives is that a man is chopping wood in a forest and the victim also entered the forest. The one who is chopping the wood wasn't aware of the other person entering the forest. The Gemara discusses either the tree came down, so I don't know if the guy yelled out timber or not, the tree came down and the piece of wood hit the victim and killed the victim, or perhaps the axe flew off the handle and the metal killed the person. There's a question in the Gemara what exactly happened, but the scenario is, the paradigm is, that they were both in the forest together. So Abba Shaul says that we learn something from that scenario of the pasuk. Ma chatovas etzim reshus. Just like chopping the wood is a voluntary act, There's no mitzvah to chop wood. The Gemara goes through. Even if you're chopping wood to build a sukkah, we actually once discussed this. But that's just a hechsher mitzvah. You're chopping wood because you want to build a sukkah. But there's never really an actual mitzvah, per se, to chop wood. So the Torah's example was dafka. Just like chopping wood is voluntary, so too, the person is only liable for galus, for kapara. He only requires atonement if he killed someone inadvertently while he was engaged in a voluntary activity. So this excludes, if Loyaleinu, imagine a father is disciplining his son, and he hits his son, and somehow the son got killed on account of that. You know, this was old school parenting. The father's giving the son a lash, a whipping, and the son dies on account of that. So it was considered a mitzvah for the father to discipline his son. Where if a Rebbe was roide es talmidoi, was punishing the student for not applying himself or disturbing the rest of the class. So again, this is old school. It was considered a mitzvah that the Rebbe is allowed to discipline the student while he's teaching. Or even a shliach bezdin. If a shliach, now we're going to discuss what the scenario of a shliach bezdin. A shliach bezdin is somebody who's authorized by the court. We can even say it's like a policeman. If a policeman is exerting force legally on a citizen in order to bring him to justice, so the halacha is if he kills him by accident, it says that he's exempt from galus, which in our terms would mean he does not require an atonement. Now the Rambam paskins like this Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Maseches Makis, Abishol. So the Rambam paskins like this in Hilchos Ritzeach and Shmiras Nefesh, Perek Hey, Halacha Hey and Halacha Vav. He quotes the Mishnah that a Rav, a Rebbe, who's hitting the student in order to discipline the student, or a Shliach Bezdin. Now this is very interesting, a Shliach Bezdin. We're going to divert and discuss the Shliach Bezdin in a moment. A Shliach Bezdin who is hitting the Baldin. He's hitting the litigant, Hanimna Milavoy Ledin, because the litigant or the accused, the alleged, is refusing to come to the court. So basically it means he's resisting arrest. He's resisting arrest. And the Shliach Bezdin is applying force in order to arrest the accused, Behem Misoi, and he kills him inadvertently, Bishoigig, by accident. He's putter from Gullus, he's exempt from being exiled, which again in our terms would mean he does not require atonement. And the Rambam cites the Mishnah, Lachtoiv Eitzim, because the verse in the Torah is chopping wood. So Ledivri Rishus, we're speaking about a case, the only time the inadvertent murderer requires an atonement is only if he was engaged in a voluntary activity. It excludes these cases that we just mentioned where he's performing a mitzvah, he's attempting to perform a mitzvah. The father is trying to discipline the son, the Rebbe is trying to discipline the student, or the Shliach Bezdin is trying to arrest the alleged in the name of the law. So in all of these cases, if he inadvertently kills, he's putter. Why is he exempt? Bishas asiyas hamitzvah. So the Rambam says, I emboldened it because he killed the person inadvertently while he was performing a mitzvah. Now, I want to just go on a tangent, not speaking about a doctor, speaking about a shliach bezdin. So it's fascinating because what exactly is the case of a shliach bezdin? The Mishnah does say, Abba Shaul says that a shliach bezdin, a messenger, an agent of the court, let's call him a policeman, an agent of the court, if he inadvertently kills someone, the halacha is he's exempt from going to galus, which means he doesn't require atonement. He's not considered to be guilty. So Rashi says it means that the shliach bezdin was simply following the orders of the court, that the accused was already convicted. He already is liable for lashes. Let's say the accused was convicted of eating chalev, of eating nevela. He was properly forewarned, and he was convicted. There were witnesses, and now it's time to give him the 39 lashes. Bezdin made an umdana. Bezdin assessed how many lashes this person could bear. Let's say they paskin that he can receive 12 lashes, and he would survive 12 lashes. And the shliach bezdin is simply carrying out, executing the punishment, and he inadvertently kills the person. The halacha is that he's exempt. So he was asa mamish mashmuta olav. He was literally doing what he was supposed to do. This shliach bezdin, let's say he would say, I feel bad. I don't want to give him lashes. I want to give him less than he deserves. He wouldn't be allowed to do that. He would lose his job. This shliach bezdin, he's required to give the amount of lashes. It's not his decision. He's required to give the amount of lashes that the bezdin assessed and paskined. So according to Rashi, and I saw the Achronim point this out, according to Rashi, if a shliach bezdin is simply following the orders of the court and administering the lashes that he was required to administer, and the convicted person, the criminal, let's call him the criminal, he dies under the lashes, so the shliach bezdin is exempt. I saw the poskim point out, you don't even need the exemption because he was engaged in a mitzvah. Even if it wouldn't be a mitzvah, he's completely an einus because the shliach bezin was required to do what he was doing. It wasn't his decision. It wasn't his assessment. It wasn't even his mistake. He was simply administering what the court told him to do. So it goes without saying that he would be exempt from galus. That's according to Rashi, the shliach bezin would simply be exempt because he's an onus. Now the Rambam disagrees with Rashi, that the scenario of the Mishnah is not that he's simply carrying out, administering the punishment, because you would, like I just said, you would not need the exemption of a mitzvah to exempt him. He would be exempt anyway because of an onus. So the Rambam constructs a different case. We're talking about a case where it's before the person was convicted and he was resisting arrest. He was supposed to come before the Bezdin, and he was resisting arrest. And the shliach on his own, midas atzmo, he decided to employ force, and he was authorized to do that in order to capture this person and bring him to Bezdin. And by accident, he killed the person. So the Rambam would say that he was exempt. He does not require atonement because he was engaged in a mitzvah. It's interesting because the Ra'avid on the spot in that halacha vehemently argues on the Rambam, and he says that the shliach bezdin is not authorized to apply force, excessive force, to bring the accused into court, to arrest the accused. The Ra'avid argues on the Rambam that when the Gemara discusses punishing the convicted, that's talking about a person who already was convicted for doing an Aveira, but if the person was not yet convicted, the policeman, the shliach bezdin, the agent of the court, is not allowed to apply excessive force at all. He's not authorized to do that, and he would not be allowed to apply force in order to arrest the accused person. So the Ra'avid argues on the Rambam. So it's interesting because, you know, the what's going on nowadays, the whole question of police brutality, whether or not a policeman is actually allowed to apply force or not. So if you would ask the halacha, it's a machlekes between the Rambam and the Ra'avid. The Rambam holds that a policeman, an agent of a court, is authorized to apply excessive force, not excessive force, but he can use his judgment to apply force in order to arrest the accused. And according to the Ra'avid, there's no such authorization. So if the person kills by accident, he would require atonement just like anybody else. The Ra'avid learns the case was, similar to Rashi, that he was simply carrying out and administering the lashes, but by accident he added another lash. The Bezdin only said to give 12, and he gave 13 by accident. So that 13 lashes took him over the tilt of the scale, and he killed the person. So that's according to the Ra'avid. Those are the three cases of a shliach bezdin. According to Rashi, the shliach was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing, and he's really exempt because it was beyond his control. According to the Rambam, we're discussing like a policeman who's applying force to arrest the accused, and according to the Ra'avid, we're talking about where the person administering the punishment, he made a mistake and administered more than he was supposed to. That's the case where he would be exempt from galus because he was at least trying to do the mitzvah of being the shliach bezdin. Okay, in any case, the Mishnah says, leaving aside the Rambam and the Ra'avid and the Rashi, the Mishnah definitely says that if a person inadvertently kills someone else while he was engaged in a mitzvah, whether he was disciplining his son or his student, or whether in one form or another the shliach bezdin was allowed and he was permitted to be applying that force, and he kills, he would be exempt from Gullus, he wouldn't require atonement. So this would be an analogy.
How come the husband doesn't get off easy for performing the mitzvah, quote unquote, if he's too strenuous in his
That's an excellent question. So far, we only see that mitzvah is an exemption from Gullus. We only see it's an exemption. It doesn't require atonement for killing the person, right? Let's say that the mitzvah makes it as if it's an onus. But we said before that you're liable for damages even when it's an onus, right? So the fact that he was allowed to do what he was doing would not exempt him from bodily injury. It would only exempt him from the requirement of atonement for the murder, for the inadvertent killing of the person. So now, these analogies, we talked about injuring somebody, the doctor injuring his servant, his slave. We talked about the husband injuring the wife. So you see that he's liable for injury. And at the same time, we see, and this is what we were just saying, Ezra, that if the person kills the other person while he's engaged in a mitzvah, although we just said that he's liable for injury, but we see that he has an exemption. He doesn't require atonement for the murder. He wouldn't have to be exiled. There's no issue of paying any money in that case. The question just would be if he requires atonement. There's no requirement for atonement. So that it would seemingly we can apply these ideas to a doctor. If the doctor causes bodily harm, he would be liable, just like the husband is liable for injuring his wife, just like the doctor had to set the servant free. At the same time, if the doctor inadvertently kills the patient, the doctor was involved in a mitzvah, verapo yirape, so seemingly the doctor should be exempt from gullus, just like we see that the shliach bezdin, or the father, or the rebbe disciplining the student, is exempt from gullus. This is what would seem to be from the Gemaras, from the sources that we do have in the Gemara. But like I said before, the Gemara doesn't discuss this. So now there are Toiseftas, there are Brises that are on the level of the Mishnah that are printed in the back of the Gemara, the back of the Vilna Shas. There are Toiseftas that discuss these issues. So now the first Toisefta is in Maseches Gittin. In Maseches Gittin, the Gemara is discussing a list of things, mipnei tikkun ha'olam. You know, the word tikkun ha'olam became like a very common phrase that people throw around. Tikkun olam, in the terms of the Mishnah, simply means various enactments that the sages made for the betterment of society. Tikkun olam. So now, there's a whole list of things there because of tikkun olam. So one of the things mentioned is a doctor. This is a Toisefta in Gittin Paragim. If a roifei uman, if an expert doctor, Shariba Bershus Bezdin, who heals, is attempting to heal with the Bezdin's permission. So this is very interesting. So we have two conditions. Number one, he's a rofei uman. He's an expert doctor, like he knows what he's doing. And second of all, he has Bershus Bezdin. The Aruch HaShulchan Paskins in Shin Lamed Vav, in Yoredeya, the Aruch HaShulchan Paskins, that Rishus Bezdin means that he has Rishus from the Memshala. Basically what it means is he's a licensed doctor. He's a licensed doctor. He has permission to practice medicine. If he's a surgeon, if he's a doctor, he's licensed by the Memshala, by the government. He passed the tests. He's a licensed doctor. So if this Roifei Uman, the expert doctor who's licensed, if he damages, so look what it says. B'shoigin, he's exempt. B'mezid, he's chayiv. If he caused injury on purpose, obviously he would be liable. But if he damages inadvertently, he would be exempt. Why? Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Because of tikkun ha'olam. In other words, rabbinically he's exempt. So we were bringing analogies from the Gemara. If the master injures his slave, he has to set the slave free. If the husband injures his wife, he has to compensate his wife. All of that is true, and we made the analogy to a doctor, but the Tosefta is not like that. Me'ikar hadin, according to the letter of the law, we would be right, that the doctor should be liable, because even though he was involved in a mitzvah, and even though he was attempting to do something good, but it's not better than damaging by accident, or beyond his control. So he should be chayav for nezek. The reason why he's exempt is because of tikkun ha'olam, he's exempt rabbinically. The rabbis exempted him from paying in order to not scare off the doctors. If the doctors, you know, this is like medical liability insurance. If the doctor would have to pay, the doctor.
It's
like Schlossinel Dallas Mifflin Lovin. The doctor's not, you know, this is before the days of the medical or the liability insurance, malpractice insurance, that the doctor would not want to practice if every time he has to litigate, every time there's a question of a mistake, he has to pay. The doctor wouldn't want to do it. So the rabbi stepped in, and the rabbis exempted him as long as it was done by accident. If he does it on purpose, obviously he has to pay. But if he does it by accident, then he's exempt. That's the Tosefta in Gittin. Now, there's a similar Tosefta in Baba Kama, in the ninth perek in the Tosefta of Baba Kama. Again, it's not brought in the Gemara, it's brought in the Tosefta, that a roifei uman sharipa brishas bezdin, the hizik, any damages, he's exempt. Now, if you notice, in this Tosefta, it doesn't say he's exempt because of tikkun olam. It seems to say he's exempt according to the letter of the law. It simply says pater. It doesn't say that it's a special exception that he's exempt. It sounds like he's exempt according to the letter of the law. So, chaval yosim in a roiloi, but if the doctor, he injured the person more than he was entitled to, like he did more invasive treatment than he should have, so then he's chayiv, he's liable. Now, I pointed out that this tosefta would be mashma, that he's exempt according to the letter of the law, not just from tikkun olam. However, the achronim, they bring a tashpatz. A tashpat, we quoted the tashpatz the other time. A tashpatz was an early rishon. The tashpatz says that this tosefta in the ninth perek of Baba Kama means the same thing as the tosefta in Gittin, that he's exempt rabbinically because of tikkun ha'olam. That's what the tashpatz says, that the kavana of the tosefta in Baba Kama is to exempt him from tikkun ha'olam rabbinically. But the Or Sameach in Hilchos Ritzeach, Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk, in Hilchos Ritzeach on the Rambam, so that's why I brought this in before, he says something very gishmak. He says that the Tosefta in Baba Kama that exempts the doctor from according to the letter of the law is speaking about the other four categories of payment, the unemployment and the pain that he might have suffered and the embarrassment that he might have suffered and any increased doctor bills. He's exempt from those payments because, like we mentioned before, you're only liable for those payments if there's an element of negligence or if it was deliberate that you were trying to damage. So when the Tosefta in Baba Kama exempts, if we're medayik in the Tosefta, that it's the letter of the law, that's because it's speaking about the other four payments. But the Tosefta in Meseches Gittin, which says that you're only exempt because of tikkun ha'olam, that you're only exempt rabbinically, that's talking about the first category of payment of nezek, which we explained, that you're liable even if it's an oinus, even if it's beyond your control. So the doctor should certainly be liable for that payment, even though it was by accident. Nevertheless, he's exempt rabbinically. So that would be very gishmak, how to learn how to precisely be medayik the two toseftas, the tosefta in Gittin that only exempts the doctor rabbinically is speaking about the first category of payment, the depreciation, the injury. The injury itself is something that you would be liable to pay even if it was totally by accident. So the doctor is not worse than an accidental injury. That's why we have to exempt him rabbinically. But the other tosefta, which seems to exempt the doctor according to the letter of the law, that tosefta could be speaking about the other four payments, which require a level of negligence to be liable, and certainly the doctor was trying his best, even if he made an honest mistake, there's no negligence involved, and therefore he would be exempt according to the Iker Hadid. That's what the Or Sameach says. Now there's another tosefta in the sixth perek in Baba Kama. It says like this, that if a rofei uman, if a doctor, an expert doctor, who's Ripa Brishas Bezin, we always have these two conditions, that he knows what he's doing, and he's a licensed doctor, he knows what he's doing and he's licensed, and he damages. So look what this Tosefta says. He's Pater from Dinei Adam, he's exempt according to the human courts, in other words, there's no recourse from a human court, from Dinei Adam, but Dinei Moser L'Shamayim, but he has a heavenly obligation. He's Chayev Bidei Shamayim. Now the Ramban says in Sefer Teras Adam in Shar Sakana, the Ramban, he discusses many different things. He discusses a doctor. He says that what the Tosefta means is that he's chayev l'shalim b'dinei shamayim, that he doesn't have an earthly obligation. He's exempt because of Tikkun HaOlam. But if the doctor really wants to go beyond the letter of the law, it's recommended that he pays. There's a heavenly obligation. If the doctor feels that he could have done a better job, the doctor should pay to be Yotze to fulfill his heavenly obligation. So this would be consistent with what the other Tosefta said, that he's only exempt according to Tikkun Olam. In other words, the doctor was trying to do a procedure and the doctor made a mistake and he caused injury. Does the doctor have to compensate or not? So we explained that according that midoraisa, according to the letter of the law, he should have to really compensate at least for the damages. Because even though he was trying his hardest, even though he was involved in a mitzvah, nevertheless, he caused an injury and he should have to pay, like the other examples that we gave. The rabbi stepped in and exempted him. So he's pater midine other. But if the doctor really wants to clear his conscience and he wants to clear his name in heaven, the doctor should compensate. That's what the Tosefta says in the sixth parak of Baba Kama. Now, that same Tosefta in Makos, in Perek Dalet, says that if an expert doctor who's attempting to cure with the Rishus Bezdin, if he accidentally kills the patient, so he has to be exiled and he requires kapara, he requires atonement. So the Ramban in Toras Adam says, he brings this lahalacha, and this is consistent with the Tosefta that we just said, that although he's exempt in Dinei Adam because of Tikkun HaOlam, but he has a heavenly punishment, he has to clear his conscience as far as heaven is concerned. So therefore he has to pay to compensate the victim for the damages, and so too the Tosefta says in Maseches Makis that he has to go to exile, meaning he requires some kind of atonement. So that's what the Ramban brings. Now it's fascinating because all of this is brought lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridea, Simin Shin Lamed Vav, in Hilchas Roife. There's actually a category in halacha. There's a simin in Shulchan Aruch Yeridea, Simin Shin Lamed Vav. It's entitled Dine Roife, the halachas of a doctor. And this is the quote of the Shulchan Aruch. Imriba Shaloi Brishus Bezdin, if a doctor practices without a license. Sometimes you read about these horror stories where you have a doctor who's practicing without a license. So over there it says he's liable to pay, even if he's a bucky, even if he supposedly knows what he was doing. If he doesn't have a license, he's liable. But then the halacha brings the Tosefta, imriba brishus bezdin, that word is a typo, behizik, and he damages, he's pater from dini adam, but he's chayev b'dini shemayim. So it's brought in Shulchan Aruch exactly what the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam brought from the Tosefta, that if a doctor, even a licensed doctor who supposedly knows what he's doing, if he causes bodily injury, he's exempt because of Tikkun HaOlam, but in order to clear his name in heaven, he should pay. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that if the doctor inadvertently kills the patient and he realizes his mistake, that he made a mistake, he has to go to Galus, he has to exile himself. So it's fascinating, and the Achronim point out, nowadays we don't have any exile. And it's very unusual for the Shulchan Aruch to bring these kinds of halachas that are only relevant in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. You normally don't find that. So the Poskim say that the Shulchan Aruch is trying to impress upon us how severe what the responsibility of a doctor is, and that the doctor would require some kind of atonement, like we said before, a mishkol, there would have to be some equivalency to an atonement if the doctor inadvertently causes the death of the patient. Now the Tashpatz asks the kasha that I'm sure everybody's thinking, that why, so we just discussed, let's just summarize quickly, that we have two concepts. We have monetary damage, and we have exile, atonement for inadvertently killing the patient. Monetary damage, you're usually liable even if it was by accident, even if it was almost beyond your control. So we understand that the doctor should really be liable for the malpractice, for damaging, for injuring the patient. However, the rabbis exempted him on a Bezdin level. There's no recourse in a Bezdin, but he does remain chayiv bidei shamayim. That is the halacha, that's what the Ramban brings, and that's his Brotin Shulchan Aruch. That we understand. But then the Shulchan Aruch goes further. We saw the Tosefta, that he also has to go to Galus, he's also exiled. So the question is, why should he be exiled why is he different than the other examples of the Mishnah where he was involved in a mitzvah? So over here we should say, because he's involved in a mitzvah, he's like the Rebbe disciplining the Talmud, or like the Shliach Beis Din, he's authorized, he has a license. If he inadvertently killed the patient while he was involved in a Mishnah, in a mitzvah, why should he require atonement? So the Tashbat says we can make a distinction. It's not clear what the distinction was. Now, the Or Sameach, that same Or Sameach in Hilchos Reitzeach, see, he asks, and he really remains with this unresolved question. How could, if the Tosefta that says that he's Chayiv, the Tosefta also says that a Shliach Beis Din is Chayiv Galus, right? So the Or Sameach compounds the problem, because the Ramban and the Shulchan Aruch both bring the halacha that if a doctor inadvertently kills the patient, he's liable. So the Tashbatz, one of the Rishonim, already asks the question, what's the difference between the doctor and the examples of the Mishnah where a person was engaged in a mitzvah, the father, the Rebbe, or the Shliach Beis Din? The Or Sameach compounds the question even further, because the Or Sameach points out that the same Tosefta that says that a doctor is liable to be exiled also says that a Shliach Beis Din has to be exiled. So in other words, our analogy of a doctor to a Shliach Beis Din seems to be correct, and the same Tosefta is consistent that a Shliach Beis Din also would have to go to Galus. So the Or Sameach points out that that's clearly in contrast with what it says in the Mishnah and the Rambam. The Rambam paskins that a Shliach Beis Din does not have to go to Galus if he inadvertently kills, because he was involved in a mitzvah. So our analogy should be correct, that a doctor should not have to go to Galus if you're comparing him to a Shliach Beis Din, but the Tosefta says that a Shliach Beis Din himself has to go to Galus, which is clearly not like the Mishnah in Makkos and not like the Psak of the Rambam. So the Or Sameach basically throws his hands up and says that he can't resolve this question at all, because the whole source of the Ramban and the Shulchan Aruch is the Tosefta. That same Tosefta says that even a Shliach Beis Din has to go to Galus, and we know that's not the halacha. The halacha is that if you're involved in a mitzvah, you do not have to go to Galus. So the Or Sameach is perplexed why the Shulchan Aruch paskins and the Ramban paskin that a doctor would have to go to Galus. And he leaves it b'tzarachin that it requires further research. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Chassam Sofer that he brings a fascinating case. There was once a woman who had an attendant. The attendant was scared and fainted. So the woman thought that her attendant was having an epileptic seizure. It was considered life-threatening. So the woman, in her panic, she grabbed for her attendant's medicine. Instead of grabbing the proper medicine, she grabbed a poison, some kind of cleanser or some kind of or some toxic thing. And she administered a poison instead of the medicine. So she was trying to do a good thing. She was trying to revive her attendant who fainted, had some kind of a seizure. And in her panic, instead of giving medicine, she gave poison. And then the patient died. So the Chassam Sofer paskins that she's exempt from any kind of atonement. Why? Because since she was trying to do a mitzvah, she's like a Shliach Beis Din. So the Chassam Sofer, he makes the analogy himself to a Shliach Beis Din, but it just compounds, it's just a perplexing problem, because the Shulchan Aruch says that you're chayiv galus if a doctor is attempting to cure and inadvertently kills the patient, he's chayiv. But the Chassam Sofer seems to ignore what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and he runs off on his own and makes an analogy to a Shliach Beis Din the way the Or Sameach did, in contrast to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There's another scary, like disheartening story that the Chassam Sofer brings, that a woman was once nursing her baby, and while she was nursing her baby, she fell asleep, and either she dropped the baby or she smothered the baby, and then when she woke up, the baby was dead. Lo yaleinu, this should never happen to anyone. So the Chassam Sofer again paskined that because the woman was engaged in a mitzvah, she was trying to feed the baby, and she fell asleep out of oinus, out of sheer exhaustion. So therefore, she's not liable to any kind of atonement, even heavenly. She's exempt. She doesn't have to. I mean, it's a tragedy enough, but not to make matters worse, she doesn't have to worry about the requirement for any kind of atonement. You know, God forbid, you hear these stories that someone leaves the baby in the back of the car or something like that. These kinds of scary stories where the person was really involved in trying to care for the child, but inadvertently the person killed the child, so the Chassam Sofer exempts the person from any kind of consequence, even from a heavenly atonement, because it was totally an accident. But all of that having said, the Shulchan Aruch says not like that. The Shulchan Aruch says that even a doctor who's attempting to cure the patient, if inadvertently he kills the patient, he does require some kind of atonement. So the Yad Avram, it's one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, what we're trying to do now is attempt to make distinctions between the mitzvah examples in the Mishnah in Makkos that the Rambam paskins and a doctor. So the Yad Avram makes the following distinction, that he doesn't have the exemption of atonement because he's involved in a mitzvah, because since the person died and was not cured, it turns out he wasn't doing a mitzvah. If the father was engaged in disciplining the son or disciplining the student or administering the Beis Din's punishment, so he was engaged in a mitzvah. So the person died, so Nebuch, we killed the person while we were engaged in a mitzvah. But if the doctor is trying to cure the patient and he does the opposite, he kills the patient, he didn't fulfill a mitzvah. That's the Yad Avram's chiluk. The Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, says that we're talking about a specific case. We're talking about a misdiagnosis where the doctor was applying a cure that was totally unnecessary. So it turns out he was doing something that he shouldn't do. That's why it's not a mitzvah, because he was doing the wrong procedure, right? So these are basically technical differences why he wasn't involved in a mitzvah. The question is stronger than the answer, right? The question was that if the doctor is trying to cure the patient and he inadvertently kills the patient, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban paskin that he requires atonement. The question is, why is that different than the Shliach Bezin, the father, and the Rebbe who are disciplining? They're also involved in a mitzvah. So the Or Sameach compares the two, the Chassam Sofer compares the two, but the Shulchan Aruch makes a distinction. What's the distinction? So we have these technical hairline distinctions. The Yad Avram says, because since he ended up killing the patient, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. The Birkei Yosef makes it Ukimta. The Chidah says, we're talking about a misdiagnosis where what he was doing was not a mitzvah at all. And the Aruch HaShulchan, I quoted earlier, says that we're talking about a case where the doctor feels himself that he made a mistake and that he was lax in his practice. He could have done a better job. It was due to his rash lusa. It was due to his being lax. Maybe he was distracted. We're talking about a case where the doctor admits to himself afterwards that he did not do as good a job as he could have, and that's why he requires some atonement. Okay, so those are the distinctions. So just to summarize, technically the doctor should be liable if he injures the patient, but the rabbis exempted him. But there is some kind of heavenly calling to reimburse the patient if the doctor wants to be totally lefnei mishuras hadin. If the doctor inadvertently kills the patient, so seemingly he should be exempt from any requirement of atonement, and that's what the Or Sameach and the Chassam Sofer say, but the halacha is not like that for some reason, and the poskim make a distinction because for one reason or another, it wasn't considered that he was engaged in a mitzvah since he ended up killing the patient, or we're talking about a misdiagnosis where he was doing something that was totally unnecessary, or like the Aruch HaShulchan says, that the doctor admits to himself that he could have done a better job. He was distracted or he didn't diagnose properly. He could have done a better job. The Tashbatz, that same Tashbatz that we've been quoting all along, he has an interesting halacha. He says that this whole discussion, the Tosefta and all that, are talking about a surgery where he physically injured or killed the patient. But if he gives a medicine and the medicine causes some kind of injury, the doctor would be exempt according to everyone, and the Besamim Rosh seems to say the reason is because it's a grumma, it was considered an indirect damage. Now, all of this having been said, we're talking about the liabilities of a doctor, so nowadays you have the malpractice insurance. So what about the fact that we're scaring off the doctors, right? Because after all, the Tosefta said that because of Tikkun HaOlam, they exempted the doctor, at least in the human court, he's exempt. According to there's no recourse physically, you can't actually make him pay. So how do we convince the doctors to continue doing the good work that they're doing? So the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, after he brings all of this, he says the following, that there's a mitzvah, v'rapo yirapeh. There's a mitzvah for a doctor to cure. Mikan nitin rishus l'roifei l'rapois. It's a Gemara in Brachos, it's a Gemara in Baba Kama, that a doctor has permission to cure. Says the Rambam, he's given permission. What does that mean, he's given permission? He's encouraged to cure. Ein loy loymar, the doctor should not say, mali bitzar hazeh. What do I need this for? Maybe I'll make a mistake. Maybe I'll kill by accident. The doctor is not required to say that. The doctor is encouraged by the Torah. If he has the skill, if he has the calling to be a doctor, the doctor is encouraged by the Torah to practice medicine, become an expert, and practice medicine. The Torah gives permission to a doctor to cure. It's not just permission, it's an assurance. It's an encouragement that if you feel you can do it, we need people like you out in the field, you should go ahead and you should try to cure. And it's a mitzvah. And the Ramban continues that it's a mitzvah gedoyla. It's pikuach nefesh. And any doctor who knows how to cure, it's a mitzvah to engage in this refuah. And if the doctor holds himself back and refuses to help, that's considered shofar tamim. Imagine if you have a patient who's ill and a doctor has the skill to help. He has to help. It's a mitzvah. And if he doesn't, then he's responsible for any outcome, any negative consequence. And says the Ramban in his final line, that as long as the doctor feels confident that he did his best and he's not aware of any mistake, he's totally exempt, he has no concern, and then he brings an expression, ein l'dayin elamasha ein avrois, that a judge, and this is talking about a halachic decisor, if somebody brings a shiloh, is the chicken kosher? Is the woman a nida? Any kind of shiloh. Is this halacha? Am I allowed to do this on Shabbos? The Rav, if he knows the halacha, is allowed to decide the halacha based on the facts that are presented, and he doesn't have to lose sleep that he made a mistake. The halacha is that the Rav is allowed to paskin the shiloh based on the facts that are presented to him, and he paskined according to the best of his ability. The same thing applies to a doctor. Says the Ramban, if you practiced your medicine to the best of your ability, you knew what you were doing, you were licensed, you were practiced, you're an expert, you do not have to be concerned that you're making a mistake. If it becomes clear that he made a mistake, so then there could be some level of liability. But you do not have to hold yourself back. You're allowed, and it's a mitzvah to engage in the practice in order to help. And the Ramban gives the assurance, the rapa yarape, that the doctor is doing a mitzvah. Okay, Yasha Koyak.
Yasha Koyak.